Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirium. At the mere mention of my name, this is the Mark Unger Show, the show that is all about
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
That's right.
A little cruel there, don't you think? Joining me as always is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
What kind of responsible behavior is that?
Yeah, Diane.
Yeah, it's you. You with the irresponsible behavior over there.
She's talking to you. And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzeski.
Not only are you not a very nice person, you're also a slob.
I like that.
Judge Judy. You got to love Judge Judy. She called you a slob.
I was being kind to you, sir.
Engineering the show is always a, always, I can't talk. Timothy Ray pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of the show. This is the show that deals with your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. As always, let me explain how the show works. You can send an email about anything under the sun. Nothing is off limits. You get to stay totally anonymous. We, in return, are brutally honest. This is not a show to build your self-esteem. If we think you're being a dork, we will call you a dork, so be prepared, all right? Good news is we don't know who you are. Nobody else knows who you are, so just put on your big girl and big boy panties and step up to the show, and away we will go. Sitting in today as for the week is our friend Thomas, who is a 19-year-old guy, engaged. When are you getting married?
June 23rd.
I like this man. So less than a year away. Good for you, man. Awesome. Congratulations. I never did give him a cigar. I got to give him a cigar. We came up with a cigar thing.
You'll keep saying the cigar thing and then he'll walk away without him.
That's my problem. Nobody wants my cigar.
Nobody
wants me.
Have you even broken your man cave?
No, I haven't. I got to have some friends come over.
He doesn't have any friends. That's the problem.
That's awesome.
I'm a loser. What do you want me to say? I'm a big fat loser. Anyway. What are we doing? Okay, so let's begin. Shall we?
Do you want to talk about the top one thing first, right off the bat today? Like you did yesterday?
Let's begin, shall we? Shall we?
Yes, I guess we can.
Okay.
We're setting up a fund to raise money to go do a Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, fun, encouraging for a relationship seminar in Joplin, Missouri. There's a lot of people there who are hurting. We've been talking to a church that got totally destroyed in the big storms that were there, and they want us to come. So we're trying to see if we can find enough people that would help us to raise money to go do an event for them. If you would be willing to help us out there in the Gunger world, those of you driving around in your cars and getting to work or coming home, by the time you get in front of your computers, if you can remember to go to celebratefamilies.org, and you'll see right at the top there, for the Joplin, Missouri Fund. If you're uncomfortable donating online, some people don't like doing credit cards and stuff online, although it is secure. If you're nervous about it, you can. There's an address there that you can mail a check to, or you can call directly the phone number there, and someone there will take your information. So we're just, you know, I have no idea what will happen. We may not, you know, if not very many people respond. You know, I don't know. We've never done this before.
So we shall
I
have no idea.
But your money will not be wasted. Whatever you give, if there's not enough to send us down there, We will take your donation, and we'll still send it to these people so that at least it'll be a blessing to them and help them, as they rebuild their lives after the storm. Hopefully, we have enough people. Quite frankly, it wouldn't take. There's thousands of people who listen to this program. If everybody went and just did something, it would be very, very helpful, and we could do it.
Yep.
So, but I have no idea. I'm not a televangelist. I'm not used to going on TV and send me your money. Hallelujah. So I don't do that kind of thing. I don't want to do that kind of thing.
No.
So this isn't about turning me into a fat cat or some other thing that if you give, you're going to make $1 million back or something. This is just, hey, I believe in what this guy's doing, and I would like to help these people with this event. Go online, please. CelebrateFamilies.org. And let's see what we can do together as a group that are all part of this program out there on the internet. You could be in other parts of the world. We actually have a lot of people who listen all over the world. And you also could help for those in the other parts of the world. I suppose we should explain.
What happened? Happened. Because they may not know.
Yeah. Ross, explain it. You were down there.
Joplin, Missouri, I believe it was on May 22nd. It was a Sunday. It was right on the heels of the Butt-Kicking Woman Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And a Category 5, I think it said EF5 tornado went through and actually just leveled downtown area of Joplin, Missouri. And when we took our team down there just about 3 weeks ago, it's just insane to see. It was very surreal, just that kind of devastation. I mean, they've done a lot.
Just wiped out the whole city, man, right?
Leveled
it. How long did it take?
45 seconds. There was one, if you watch it on YouTube.
45 seconds is all that actually lasted and was on the ground there?
Well, no. I'm saying from beginning point to, I forget the actual duration of time, but moving over the top of you, they said it was about 45 seconds and it was over as it moved over.
Oh, over it. Okay.
Yeah.
But we're still talking a matter of minutes.
Yes.
Yep. Just leveled the town.
Just leveled. Massive. Category 5, is that the worst?
Yeah, 5, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't get any worse than that. So it's the worst, strongest level tornado that is possible.
And in the medical center.
And it hit a big city,
Yeah.
That's
it moved the medical center 4 inches on its own foundation, they said. Now, that's huge.
Pick the whole thing up and...
Go to your medical center in your community or your city and think about that facility being moved 4 inches on its own foundation. They were saying in excess of 300 to 400 miles an hour to be able to do that.
Man. So anyway, a lot of people hurt. A lot of people were killed. A lot of wonderful people, their homes were destroyed.
Absolutely.
Churches were destroyed. And they're rebuilding. It'll take them years, and they're going to rebuild. They're resilient people, good people there. And people have been asking us if we would be willing to come down and do a Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar for that area. And we would love to be able to do it and not have to charge them and all that kind of stuff. So the only way I know to do it is to go to the people who support and believe in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that would be particularly you guys who listen to this show. I've got hundreds of thousands of people who listen to us on radio, TV, seminar, all the different things like that. I've got 40,000 people who follow me just on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But the smallest world that we have is our most committed world, and that is the people who listen to this program. And if we have a good response for this, well, maybe we'll go to the bigger world and see if people would help. But we thought we'd start here and see if there's enough people who would be willing to go online and give $10, $20, $100 more. Who knows? I mean, it just depends. Everybody's in a different place in life.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where $20 was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times in my life where I could reach in and a couple of $1,000 would not have really made a difference one way or the other to me. So just depending where you're at, if you'd like to help us, God bless you, and you can be a part of this. Again, CelebrateFamilies.org. We hope to hear from you.
Do you not also think that, it'd be good for people to realize that this kind of an event is huge, especially after a tragedy like this, because not only is it a physical loss, of maybe losing a loved one but your home, but it's demoralizing.
Yep.
When you lose everything, it affects not just you emotionally, but it affects your family.
It just rocks your world.
Absolutely. So this was, your message going in will be just very well needed in a time like this. So this is a great opportunity to invest in.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see who loves me.
There might be a few.
There might be one or two. I don't know.
If you can give your cigars to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we got to do.
Donate and get a cigar.
And get a cigar from Mark. Oh, man. Hopefully there'll be way too many people to donate that I'd have cigars for.
This is true.
All right. What you got there today?
Here's a little story that says a new study out of Ohio State University has revealed that couples who argue on their honeymoon are more likely to have a stormy marriage over the long term compared with newlyweds that get on well. So if you get along well.
People who yell at each other from the get-go have worse marriages than those who don't.
Mine's pretty successful.
What morons spent money on this test?
The Ohio State University morons did. The study of almost 1,000 husbands and wives found little change in the rate
Thomas,
of rows.
If you get married and on your wedding day and throughout the first week you're all yelling and screaming at each other, that's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
And good thing these people spent millions of dollars to warn you about this. Who does this? Who goes on their honeymoon and screams and argues?
I don't know. But it was this study. I mean, it was all over everything that I get Google and all of that about how your level of argument and the conflict that you have, and we've talked about this before, generally stays the same the whole length of your marriage. That it's not like the fighting goes away and it stops.
So how it starts is how
apparently,
it lasts.
If you're high conflict, it keeps staying.
Do you think that's true?
Most of the time at a high conflict level. Or you end up divorcing.
I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it.
You don't agree with it?
No, I mean, we argued a lot in our early years because we were just still getting
to honeymoon?
Learn and know about how to do life with somebody for the first time, you know?
But yeah, that
smooths out.
I think that it smooths out for some people.
Until you learned how intense she was, and now you fear her.
No, I don't fear her.
I think that it takes a while, like what you're saying. Because he's scared to death and he's shaking over on the other side of the table.
Fetal position. Will be again now.
He's in the fetal position on the floor, sucking his thumb, saying, "It'll be okay.
Mama,
it'll be okay. Yeah. It'll be okay."
But I don't think that's true. That it starts one way and it'll be that way. I don't believe that.
Well, that's just what the study says, and I think that people who can't handle that end up divorcing, according to the study.
Hmm.
If you can't handle the conflict, then you get divorced because you think what's wrong. We shouldn't fight. This is a problem.
But in your marriage, what do they consider early?
What do you mean early?
You say that however they start in the
early. In the early stages. The conflict sort of stays steady through the course of
but
your
what's
marriage.
What's early? What are you talking, like the honeymoon? Literally?
Well, this is saying on their honeymoon, the ones. I mean, that was part of the study, that if you fought on your honeymoon. But I think that there's people who do. I think there's a large majority of people who argue on their honeymoon. It's just a weird.
Not the night of.
No, but on the honeymoon, you're traveling,
yes.
And I think that it's very common that spats occur on honeymoons. I don't think that's uncommon. What are you trying to get at, Mark?
We didn't argue. Maybe that's why we're still married.
Maybe that's why.
You didn't argue at all on your honeymoon? Did you ever really have a honeymoon?
No. I mean, you know, your first 10 days or...
You didn't argue.
Year.
Well, you didn't go anyplace. See, when you go on these travel trips and...
We live traveling.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So you weren't put in this little pressure cooker. Did you ever see that Ashton Kutcher movie where they go on the honeymoon and it's just hell? I don't know the name of it.
Uh-uh.
It's some chick flick movie.
I don't know.
That they get married and go, and the whole time it is just a living hell. By the time the honeymoon's over, they're convinced that they don't even want to be together anymore.
A funny movie?
Oh, there's parts of it that are funny.
Is it supposed to be a funny movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds depressing to me.
Yeah. No, I
still can't believe you didn't argue.
Huh?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it that you didn't argue with your wife at all.
No spats?
In the first couple months or even year. Spats. I don't believe it.
Ask her.
Do you believe that?
Do I believe
possible?
That? I believe that's possible. Do I think that he doesn't remember?
She married Mark Gunger. There's going to be...
I think that's more possible. That she just doesn't remember. He just doesn't remember.
I agree.
All he remembers is the great sex he was having.
Yeah.
He does not
really
remember.
Who's got time to argue?
No. I'm sure that you had spats and argued, but you just don't recall.
Oh, maybe in the first year. Maybe.
I don't know. I would find that hard to believe knowing you.
Yeah. I've said this before. I don't think people really believe me. We've argued more since I started doing this stuff.
This is true. This is true because it's a different change.
This is much more stressful.
Yeah.
The traveling and the running around and all the gazillion things that we do.
I believe that.
So we started helping other people's marriages. It's put more of a strain on our marriage.
Yeah.
Up to that point, no.
You didn't really argue?
You know, sure we did, you know, time into it. But we're talking in the first months. I don't think. I can't remember us. I'll ask her. It'll be interesting. We'll ask her after the show.
Yes. Because I really wanted to, because we did.
Well, I think lots of people did. But I mean, a lot of people come up to me, and one of the big questions I get when I'm being interviewed all the time as a so-called marriage expert, mm-hmm. whatever the heck that means, is, so did you guys really struggle, you know, early, that first year of marriage is really tough, isn't it? You know, and I always look at it and go,
no,
it wasn't for us. I'm thinking, really? You're together. You should be having a blast. But see, I don't know. Who knows? Look, it's very common that people argue a lot in the first year of marriage.
Yeah.
I understand that. But I'm just saying for us, I don't remember that at all. We argued a lot more later. And we argue more now.
Now, after 38 years.
After 38 years than we ever argued or pressures and stuff. You know, which, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, only makes sense when you think.
Yeah.
If we're out there and we are really helping.
Which you are.
Tons of people's marriages and helping their families be stronger and their churches be stronger and stuff. If you're the devil, what would you do to me?
That's exactly right.
Two things. First of all, you try to ruin my marriage or you get me to have sex with some bimbo somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I know what I'd do.
Because if I go out and boink some bimbo somewhere.
I wouldn't even do that.
And then it just, everything stops. It's over with, you know. You know, or if we, my wife and I end up divorced somehow, you know, then everything's, I say, is all crap.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So it does make sense from a spiritual standpoint. Okay, Ross, with a smile on your face like a Cheshire cat.
I don't know if I can say, you know, if I were the devil, what I would do to you.
You'd kill me, probably.
No, I would hinder your plumbing.
You are the devil. You're the devil just for thinking that.
Speaking of the devil, by the way, I passed Ross the Screwtape letters. I read the Screwtape letters last week.
You actually did it.
I got it, and I read it.
And I'm doing it next. Nope, it's my turn.
I'm not going
to
read it.
You need to read it. You do need to read it, Mark. You will be astounded by that
book. I can't read. I'm illegitimate.
Now, I will confess there were parts of it. You're illegitimate. There are parts of it that I kind of didn't understand, but I kept reading enough and got the gist of it because...
Parts of it you don't understand?
I mean, just the way it's written, you know, some of his sentences I would have to read and reread, so.
Why, because it was in English?
Because he's very English, you know, C.S. Lewis, and it's old. It's a 70-year-old book, so it's just written in a different kind of format. But I'm telling you, it is as relevant today, even though it's 70 years old. You have to read it, and it would make, I told Ross, a great sermon series, because people don't realize that those are the tactics that the devil uses, and he's alive and well and kicking. And it's really good. You do need to read it, Mark. And it doesn't take long. I read it in a night. I had like 10 pages
the
next morning.
Aren't you just the coolest thing since sliced bread? I could read it in a night.
No, I'm just saying it doesn't take that much time.
It does for me, because this is how I read. There are two equal and opposite errors. Yeah.
When you read, if someone interrupts you, do you have to stop what you're doing and go all the way back to the point where you started?
Actually, if I'm like almost at the end of the book and someone interrupts, I got to go all the way back to the beginning.
No.
Of the book and I have to read a whole thing.
See, I hate you.
That's what you got to do. You got to go all the way back.
If I'm reading, do you need it on tape?
And you interrupt me like you just did, I have to start over again.
Okay. Of course you do. No, should I get it on tape for you?
I don't care if you're black.
The Screwtape letters are about apparently Satan or one of his demons writing letters to Satan.
Well, it's not the head guy. It's one of the higher ups newcomer that he's training.
Oh, he's training a new demon.
So Wormwood demon is the training. New in training.
Yes.
The newbie.
Yes. The newbie.
Being hazed.
Yes, he is. But the Uncle Screwtape is not.
Yes, Thomas will be in training here next year when he gets married, and he'll be a husband in training. But this is a demon in training.
He refers to God as the enemy, so he's always working against the enemy all of the time.
And C.S. Lewis starts out saying, I have no intention of explaining how the correspondence which I now offer to the public fell into my hands. Do you think?
No. I mean, it's fiction, obviously, but hey.
But now, this is also the guy who wrote...
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes.
Chronicles of Narnia. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, I highly recommend it. I do think you should read it. I think you'd get a great sermon series out of it, actually.
Cool.
It's very good. So, I read it. I'm the only one at the table to. Well,
look,
I don't know about
I was
Thomas.
The only one who knew what it was.
No, I knew what it was. I just never read it. Have you ever read it, Thomas?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of it?
I highly recommend it.
It's because it goes to public school. They don't read anything anymore. Do they require to read?
No, he wasn't public school.
You watch the public school? Oh,
homeschool.
Here I'm slamming.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You watch it.
Homeschool?
I was kind of flip-flopping between both.
Here I slam public schools, and he's a homeschool. What do they require people to read anymore in high school?
What do they require?
Yeah, it used to be like Shakespeare and the
It depends on the classes that you get into.
Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, all these classic.
No, literature. It's a lot more modern literature depending on the classes that you take. It's not like English is required and you have to do this and they teach the classics.
Doonesbury is not classic American literature.
No. I'm not
talking
modern? About...
Is that the way they're reading?
Yeah, no, that's not it.
Cartoons?
But if you took wouldn't more surprise of a classic me if they have... kind of class, yes, you would probably read those, but that's not the typical...
They don't have to do that anymore.
No, not the typical classics. Nope. At least my kids... I read Shakespeare, but I'm old.
To be or not to be. That is the question.
Who is that?
'Twether 'tis noble in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Well, she knows it too. Or to take arms against the sea of troubles and by opposing end them. To die, to sleep. Alas, no more. And to sleep we mean we end a thousand natural shocks and heartaches that flesh is heir to. To die, to sleep, perchance to dream. Ah, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death what dreams may come after we have shuttled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of such long life. See, you people thought I was an idiot. You thought I was an uneducated moron.
Impressed.
I'm impressed that she knew it too. She's recording right along with me. Bell Ann in the background. That is the only thing I remember from school.
What purpose did that serve you?
I can't add and subtract, but I can remember that. Huh?
What purpose did learning that
life? at 56 years of age, I can quote that and people think I'm educated. They think I'm intelligent. They don't know I'm a complete idiot. See, that's the thing. My job is creating the illusion of intelligence.
But you know, when
if I can, I'm really an illusionist.
That's right. He's an illusionist.
You're the David Copperfield.
I'm dumb as brick.
But he creates the illusion.
I'm the David Copperfield of intelligence.
Yes.
So, oh, man. So my job is to create the
illusion.
Smoke
and mirrors, baby.
Yes. That people think I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
When in fact, I don't. You know, I'm always quoting these studies.
Yeah.
You know, the study says, there was a study that said that. You know, the seminar people come up to me and say, man, you must read a lot. I said, no, I don't. I got someone who works for me to find all the studies. And
you're
she's a redhead blonde.
You're just lucky you
she's
have
confused.
Someone to make she's you look
a wannabe.
So smart.
She's a wannabe.
She's a poser.
Because the blondes say they have more fun. They say redheads have more sex. She cancels it out. She has nothing.
She's a strawberry blonde.
She's confused.
Yes.
What does she know? She doesn't know anything. Anyway.
You know, the funny thing is when you quote all of that, there's things in there that are references that make sense to me. Like there's a band called This Mortal Coil.
Yeah.
But
you know what he's talking
about?
You know that whole thing is about? He's contemplating suicide.
Yes.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Should I kill myself or should I live? And to end the thousand natural shocks and heartaches that flesh is there to see, this would be great. If I kill myself, then all the pain is gone.
Mm-hmm. Gone, yeah.
So that's what I remember as a kid because I was a young Christian I was reading this. And then he says, to die to sleep, perchance to dream. If there's a life after death, what dreams may come after
and
we
see,
have
that's a movie title.
Off.
What dreams may come.
With Robin Williams.
Yeah, I hear
that's
like
a quote
these
from
little,
Shakespeare. Yeah.
So
what dreams may come after we have
it.
Shuttled off this mortal coil.
Yeah.
Well, must give us pause. He says, there is the respect that makes calamity of such long life. In other words, that's why more people don't kill themselves, is what he's saying. The reason why people don't kill themselves is what happens after you kill yourself. Do you go to hell after you kill yourself?
Don't know.
You know, that's a little creepy. So
that's right. There. Don't.
That is your Shakespeare lesson of the day. Class?
There you are.
Class, pay attention. Yeah, I'm going to quiz all these people.
You're Mr. so Magna smart.
Now, do you know what Shakespeare that's from?
It's a Hamlet, right?
Yes, Hamlet. Hamlet's soliloquy.
A soliloquy. Isn't that like a breakfast item on a menu, Hamlet?
No, that's
I'd like a Hamlet. I'd like a Hamlet with ham and cheese, please. Well, a little chopped onion and a green pepper with my Hamlet.
For us public, you know, publicly schooled individuals. You turd.
King it's Lear. King Lear, did you ever read that?
I did not.
I really like that one.
No.
That one I really like.
To be honest with you, I didn't understand 99.9% of anything that I was reading.
But you know Romeo and Juliet because of West Side Story.
That's great. You still got to watch West Side Story. Ross hasn't seen it.
I've seen, you know, Romeo and Juliet, the more modern one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
That I thought was awesome.
How about Romeo and Juliet? Did you see that one yet?
Do it. I think it's a waste of time. I can't believe you even went and saw it.
That was hilarious.
Garden no, I'm gnomes. DVD. I saw. It's so cute. It's so cute. It is. Oh, now he's looking.
You didn't go see?
Romeo and Juliet. You got to get a DVD to watch with your kids. Come on. It's
Do
so cute.
Do you think
cute.
My wife is really interested in movies like that? Romeo and Juliet?
No, for your kids. For your kids.
Now, Aliens.
It's Cowboys and Aliens.
That we'll go Ooh, see.
I like now, that. Was a,
did you go see that?
Nope.
Come on. You got to go see that.
Did you see that, Bellan? Yeah.
Cowboys and Aliens.
You see it?
Oh, you have to see
Hey,
it.
Speaking of movies, I should go psycho on that one movie.
Which one?
Paul. Paul, you didn't see?
No.
Were you in church yesterday?
I was in the nursery.
Ah.
Sinner.
You sinner.
I was in the nursery taking care of 16 crying children. I felt like I ran a marathon.
All right, so I'll cut you some slack.
Paul, what is that?
Okay, so I'm on.
Do I even know this?
I'm on the plane to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. La Isla del Encanto. The Island of Enchantment. Okay, so we're at this, we're on a super plane. So I see this little movie about an alien called Paul.
Oh, I've seen the ads for that.
Yeah, it looks really funny.
Yeah, it looks silly.
In fact, parts of it are really, really funny. But it has to be. Now, I preach on this Sunday.
Okay, I have to listen online.
Which is unusual because, you know, I make fun of guys who preach against movies, you know, because they're just dorks. They don't know what they're talking about, you know. You can't go see, you know, E.T. because it's evil. He's a demon or something. I remember listening to some guy on the radio in Marshfield. E.T. is a mockery of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going, really? How do you How's get that? Nice you know, I... You know, or you can't see Star Wars because, you know, the Force and people will be praying to the trees. And really? Because I saw it and I didn't really have the urge to pray anything bizarre. Even, you know, anyway, so I always think. But having said all that and making fun of preachers for years who get all upset about culture things that don't really matter. This stunned me. It was the most anti-Christian
really?
Film I've ever seen in my life. So I would say to you parents, so many of you don't really actually parent your children. You let TV parents.
A filter.
Do not let them watch this movie. This is a horrible movie. Ross, you ought to see it. Diane, you ought to see it. Adults, you know why? Go see it. Go see it. I mean, just go see it. If nothing else, just to be stunned. The hatred towards Christianity is unbelievable. I mean, the storyline is they find this girl who believes in Jesus and stuff, and they set her free and give her wisdom. She understands finally there really is no God, and they got to teach her how to curse and kiss.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, and how to, you know, mess around. So you gotta be, oh, now I can go fornicate, you know. And I thought, I kept watching it think, well, they'll let up at some point, but they never let up.
Never did.
Even at the end, when one guy said, well, God bless you, you know, the alien rolls his eyes. Oh, these people, they don't get it. You know, there is no God. It was the most anti-Christian film I have ever seen in my life. You let your kids see this, you should be slapped.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
You remember that ball game we went to a couple years ago?
Sure.
And how you didn't have enough cash for two hot dogs, so you walked with me on your shoulders until we found an ATM? And then when we got back to our seats, we never saw the hot dog guy again.
Well, I don't remember all that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with National Abstinence Speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
She got big red lips, she got big brown eyes, and she treats me right. It's a big surprise, she won't do anything that she says she would. She makes me feel good,
she makes me feel good.
I ask her, come here, baby, she tells me no, no. I ask her, drive me here, she said, drive your own. She likes to race my motor.
Sounds like Ross dating my
slam
daughter.
My hood, she makes me feel good. She makes
I like that line.
She
makes
me race my motor. She would go with him. She wouldn't even go out to coffee with him.
No, she wouldn't. She's paying the price for that rejection. She has to do life with me.
Hey.
Feel good. She makes me feel good.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. Our joy, our fulfillment, our very purpose for existence is to make you feel good each and every day that you listen to this show. We're just talking about this movie, Paul. Bad. Most blatantly anti-Christian movie I've ever seen in my life. You know what? They would never do that about Muslims.
No, they would.
Because Muslims will kill you. That's our problem. We need to start killing people. I'm just teasing. But seriously.
We need to start killing people.
We need to kill people.
Take that back.
Let's go there and kill a bunch of people, and maybe they'll stop. But I mean, a Muslim, they would never do it. I promise you, they wouldn't do it. And the reason they wouldn't do it is because they would kill them.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, there'd be a holy uprising.
They're scared to death. But when it comes to Jesus and the Bible and Christianity,
it's all fair game.
Beat the crap out of us.
True.
And I'm, you know, I get it. Look, you know, Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Yep.
So we understand it. We don't hate people. We don't go kill people. We don't do anything. Holy moly, though. But you're a person of faith. You care about your kids. Don't let them watch this stuff. Man, we never let our kids see anything we hadn't seen first.
Mm-mm.
Some of these parents, I'm like, what the heck? Should be slapped. Anyway, so just a warning on this one, folks. Do not. Now, you said on Netflix it says
this is R.
Rated R. Mm-hmm. On Apple that you can download, it's just not rated, which I think is more dangerous.
Yes.
Because my wife almost was going to watch it with Kian.
Oh,
she
no.
decided not to because, well, I want to watch it first, she said. But yeah. She didn't think if she was, well, it wasn't rated.
Yeah.
Well, so, dear, usually that means it's even worse.
Yeah.
And she thought, oh, no, I thought it was, you know, like kid movies.
Well, it depends because, like, TV movies, when they're put on Netflix, are not rated.
Not rated, yeah.
So it just all depends on.
The reason it's rated R, it has more cursing in it than almost any movie you've ever seen, you know. Which, look, I don't like people using God's name in vain. But other cursing, it doesn't bother me, you know. A lot of it was funny. Some of the scenes, the most hilarious scene in it. wait a minute. Well, let me show you the scene. They hit this bird with their RV. Runs out of the window. And they get out, they're looking at the bird, and they feel so, oh, man, sorry for the bird. And the alien picks up the bird and holds it in his hand. And the bird comes back to life. And the guy goes, wow, that's amazing. And then he swallows the bird. Which is hilarious. And they freaks out. Oh, my gosh, you just brought that bird back to life and you ate it. And he looks at him and says, well, I'm not going to eat a dead bird, for heaven's sakes. You know? So it's I mean, it's funny. It's funny. It's done really well. This thing
the
looks
whole
like
theme.
It's. Yeah. But what the killer was, so they run into this girl who's a Christian. So he lays hands on her and enlightens her mind so that she can see there is no Jesus, there is no God, there is no. And all of a sudden and of course at first she's shocked, and then she starts cursing like crazy. I need to. And part of the joke was, you know, she was a terrible curser, mm-hmm. so they had to teach her how to curse, you know, and she grabs the guys by the, you know,
cojones,
the junk, and, you know, and, whoa, we need to fornicate, you know, I mean, I'm just all.
Oh my God.
So it was just like, and it just wouldn't let up the whole thing. Now here's the thing. The thing about, science fiction and stuff is at some point they really believe these things are possible. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So what they're saying, now the idea of Jesus laying hands on somebody and healing them
or a Christian laying hands on someone mm-hmm. raising from the dead. This girl actually has a bad eye, and he lays hands on and he heals her eye. Or laying hands on someone and giving divine wisdoms, things that we Christians believe in. They mock that. We are morons and idiots for believing that. But if an alien does it, that could be. Because I mean, in their mind, they honestly believe this is plausible. See, it's not that these people have a problem with miracles. It's, in fact, when the Antichrist comes, you know, in the end, this happened, he's going to have a guy next to him called the false prophet who's going to do miracles. Mm-hmm. People don't have a problem with miracles. Satan doesn't mind miracles. They don't mind laying on of hands. They don't even mind the idea of raising somebody from the dead. What they hate is God.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They hate God. Yeah. They hate Jesus. And you take those same principles that they put in these science fiction movies, like, you know, a little glowing finger mm-hmm. that touches something brings it back to life.
Oh, that's
and,
fine.
Oh, they would mock that, and they would just, oh, it's terrible, and, you know, stupid Jesus stuff, you know, if a Christian does it. But if an alien does it, it's fine. It's cool. No problem there. You know, in fact, what is a great movie that you ought to see?
You lost your Play-Doh.
He dropped his putty.
He can't function without his piece of Play-Doh.
He needs his putty.
He has to find the Play-Doh. Did it roll away, and now he can't even go on with the show.
Where is it?
Until the putty is found.
Okay, it's way over there. I just didn't want to be...
Now Ross has it.
I have it. No, I don't want it, dude.
So for your germs.
It's been on your face, your nostrils, your mouth.
I just didn't want to be stepping in it, because we'd never get it out of the rug.
Stepping on it.
Okay, sorry about that.
So what's a good movie that you ought to see?
Ben Stein, Expelled.
Yes.
Have
that
you
is,
seen this?
Yes, very
Have
good.
Have you seen this?
Yes, yeah, very good.
That's a great movie.
Very good.
Your kids ought to see stuff like this.
Yes.
Because what he does is he documents how that if you have even an inkling of believing in God, that God would have created the heavens or the earth, or had anything to do with it, forget the traditional version of creation, which is what we believe in, you so much as even acknowledge there is a God at all. They will kick you out of academia. Mm-hmm. Your career's done for. So he documents this. So at the very end, you guys remember at the very end, he's interviewing this guy who's like the granddaddy of evolutionary thinking and stuff. So he asks him, he says, really, you don't think there's any design, any intelligence? Because seriously, people, from the smallest ant to the largest whale, everything in between, the balance in nature, the idea that all of the life on Earth just
happened.
You got to take your brain out and mm-hmm. stick it in a jar to believe mm-hmm. this. I mean, it's so ludicrous. So he's interviewing this guy and says, "Do you really?" And he admits, he says, "No." He says, "It probably was an intelligent design." And of course, Stein's eyes like, really? "Really?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "It's probably aliens."
Oh yeah.
Do you remember this? It's probably aliens. So these idiots, see, it's not that they have a problem with intelligent design
or creation.
Or any of that stuff.
It's
that
God did it.
It's a God card, yeah.
It has to be aliens.
They hate God. Mm-hmm. They are God haters is what it is.
Speaking of the book, The God Hater, have you heard of it?
No.
It's another book I read last week. It's like The Matrix in this virtual world thing meets the Gospels. It is a very fascinating book. I surely hope that they make it into a movie because this professor is a mean atheist, goes on all these shows and argues, you know, just like these guys in Expelled. So his brother is the supercomputer geek, and he's created artificial intelligence and created this world, but they keep destroying themselves. So he goes to his brother, who's this philosophy professor, to try to get him to help. How do we do this so they don't kill themselves? Well, the professor ends up discovering that without a creator, without some form of God, they will always kill themselves,
self-destruct.
Mm-hmm. And so I won't tell you the whole thing because it's
That's
really
cool.
fascinating, but it's like
What's the name of it?
The God Hater. It is The God Hater because
I'd
the
like
professor,
to read this.
It's really good. It's like this whole cyber world that he's created. I don't want to tell you too much of it.
Well, give me that book. I'll read that book.
I'll bring it next time.
I don't want to read the screwy letters.
Why don't you, when you start buying books, you might as well just buy three.
One for you.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, it's kind of part of your job.
No, I'll just pass them on. No, somebody recommended it to me, and so I read it. It was another one of those. I just got so into it, like in a day, I sat and plowed through it. But it's really, really good.
She's always, I read it in a night.
No, I got through it in a day. No, I just say that because.
Are you like really that
I read very fast?
Fast.
Yeah, I can read really fast.
And you can retain
You can too?
Yeah.
Bella, she said, yeah, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that fascinated.
No, I'm just saying that. I read it because it's that compelling that you sit down and you don't want to stop.
Dive into it.
But I hope they do it into a really good movie because it could be very good.
I'd read more, but it gets in the way of my really important work, like watching TV.
I know.
And laughing at his own jokes.
Hey, did you see the study?
Laughing at my own jokes.
Watching TV shortens your life. Did you see that one last week?
Yes, I did.
Out?
I was very depressed
by
this study.
For every hour of TV, you lose 20 minutes of your life.
Yes, I heard
this. I'm going to be dead like next week, man.
You should be dead already.
How can they come up with that?
I don't know. I don't know, but they do. Anyway, so 39 minutes in.
So the God haters.
The God hater. Bill Meyer, I think, is the author. It's because the whole cyber world, Matrix thing, virtual world,
Bill
I thought
Meyer.
That you would really like it.
So it's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Christian science fiction book. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's like the Matrix meets the Gospels, I'm telling you.
So this has been, you know, really good about book review, movie review, and...
No emails. But I did watch Hope Floats last night, and I love that movie, too, if we're talking about movies.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see that?
All this from a woman who just watched Braveheart for the first time, like, 2 weeks ago.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Let me get back to this thing about God haters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you remember the movie Wrath of Khan?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only Star Trek I've ever seen.
Okay, and this is where they have the Genesis machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this big, you know, thing that looks like a gigantic suppository, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's got to hurt, man. So anyway, this big thing shaped like a big suppository can create life. Now, in this movie, they literally quote the myth of creation. The idea that God created the world in 6 days is a myth and a joke and absurd. But a machine can do it in 15 minutes.
And it's fine.
That they can believe. Mm-hmm. That they can get their heads around. They don't have a problem with that. I'm telling you, it's not that these people don't believe that creation can happen quickly. It's not that they don't believe that there's intelligent design. It's not that they don't believe that you can lay hands on someone and see them healed or all the stuff of Christianity. They'll take virtually any version of Christianity and accept it with no problem as long as it's a green alien.
That's doing it and not God.
Or some psychic power or the force or something else like that. But when it's connected to God, it only proves that these people, in fact, hate God and Jesus in particular. And I mean, it's just, wow. Hmm. Which makes sense from a fallen world and fallen sin, of course. That's the whole premise of Christianity in the first place. We live in a fallen world, a world that has rejected God and hates God. And you see it all the time. And then when you start examining their intellectual thinking, it just blatantly... Again, when you watch this movie, I think adults ought to, I think parents ought to watch this movie.
Paul, you're referencing.
The Paul. Yeah. And you know, and even, you know, when I say you're a little kid, you shouldn't let your little kids, maybe sit and watch it with your teenagers and talk about it.
You're big on that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these are great teaching moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying, you know, it's like, oh, if you don't want them to hear them curse words, you know, but I promise you, they're going to hear curse. You know, you have to live in a box buried under the basement somewhere if you're never going to hear curse words. So they curse. So what? Mm-hmm.
It looks funny in the ads for it, the trailers.
It's very funny.
I've seen it because my kids have wanted to see it, too.
At times I was laughing my butt off. What shocked me is when it hits this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch it and talk about it with your kids and say, look at how they – and notice how – they virtually live out the supernatural ideas of Christianity. The laying on of hands, the healing, impartation of knowledge, the raising of the dead, the stuff that we believe that certainly Jesus did, we believe is possible for believers, they have no problem with those concepts. It's all perfectly acceptable and logical if you're green and 3.5 feet tall.
But not if you're Jesus.
You're almost that tall. So part of this,
sorry,
right?
That was a good one.
That's brutal.
Perfect
man.
Setup.
Brutal. Okay, let's take a break. And we'll come back with whatever's left of this show right after this.
Listening to The Mark Gunger Show can drastically reduce your chances of becoming a repeat offender of marital and relational dilemmas in your home. Listen to The Mark Gunger Show Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at www.markgungershow.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete three Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. One hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
And even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com.
Fields in the hot summer sun. Over by the gate, Lordy, here she comes with a basket full of chicken and a big cold jug of sweet tea. Well, I make a little room and she climbs on up. Open up a throttle and stir a little dust. Just look at her face, she ain't a fooling me. She thinks my tractor's sexy. It really turns her on.
I got me a sexy tractor.
She's always staring at me.
There's tractors in the sexy tractors.
While I'm chugging along.
It is funny.
I love country music. Speaking of country music, I'm going to Ramstein Air Force Base. In a couple of weeks,
Germany. 2 weeks
to do some seminars for the troops. When I'm going to be over there, Trace Atkins is going to be there.
I'm jealous.
So I'm going to get a chance to meet him, and I'm sure it'll be a thrill for him. Yes. I bet he's been thinking, man, if I could ever meet
Mark Gunger,
how cool is this going to be? So he'll probably be very, very excited. So
I'm sure he will be.
So we've been talking all kinds of crazy stuff today.
Yes,
good
we
stuff
are.
Though.
It is good stuff.
So now when we talk about people, they hate God. What they hate is any kind of moral answering to God. That's what it is. Because they
accountability.
See, they don't have a problem with these things. All the stuff that they say they have a problem with. When you push them and you see their works and their writings and their movies and stuff, they don't have a problem with these concepts in the least. It's God they hate.
Sure. Because
they want to be able to fornicate and have no accountability. They want to be able to commit adultery and have no accountability. They want to marry and divorce with no accountability. They want to lie if they feel like lying. No, that's what gets them. They are steeped in sin. They are caught in sin. See, this is why it just fries me when we have people who write this show who claim to be Christians.
Yes.
They want to be Christians, but they still want to be Christians like the kind of people who don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
None of the rules apply. Exactly. We're great Christians. We're screwing each other's brains out, but we really love Jesus. Really? You know, I'm a 60-year-old granny, and I'm screwing my boyfriend. We really love God.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you different from just because you acknowledge a God? The thing is, there's really three categories. One of the people who want to know God and want to really please Him. Okay, then you got people who want to be connected with God, but they don't really want to please God. They still
want
to do whatever.
They
want to do whatever heck they want to do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. These are the people we love Jesus and we, you know,
live like hell.
Live like hell. Okay, and then you got people who just flat out, because they don't want to identify with God at all, just choose not to believe in God.
Right.
You know, But I mean, you guys out there who, you know, especially some of you guys that write this show, you know, oh yeah, we really love Jesus. We commit adultery and we fornicate and we're screwing our girlfriends and cheating on my wife. And but we're really involved in church and we really love Jesus. Y'all are full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
You are self-deluded psycho nut jobs. And you're just a skip away from people who don't believe in. Right, what difference exactly. does it make? Either way, you still don't really want to do what God says. We love Jesus. We just do everything Jesus hates. Well, man, I hope y'all don't love me.
This is true.
I love Mark. Let's do everything we can to make him miserable.
Yeah. Everything That's he hates. Everything
Let's
he
trash his house and mm-hmm. steal his stuff and insult him and embarrass him in front of the world. I really love you, Mark.
Yeah.
True.
Man, stay away from me. All you people, I don't want that kind of love.
Mm-mm.
We love Jesus, but we do everything we conceivably can to insult him. What the heck kind of Christianity is? I'm telling you, I don't get it. Do not get it. At least the people in movies like Paul, most writers, they just, at least they're honest enough to say, we hate God.
Sure.
Straight up.
I still think the best thing you've said, you know, in our rants today is, you know, parents, sit down with your teenagers, if you would like to have an age on it, and actually create an opportunity to invest into their moral makeup.
Yeah, you know, actually, I think that's a positive. It's one thing when they're little kids.
Right.
You need to filter, okay?
Right. Absolutely.
You just got, you parents who let older, your kids watch stuff like this, you are just dumb as bricks.
Yeah.
Well, why would you let a small child watch an R-rated movie anyway?
Because it says not rated on the version they got.
Well, this
they're
is
just
true.
Dumb. They don't look at anything. They don't think with their brains. They let the TV raise their kids and they wonder why it turned out to be hellions, okay?
That's right.
So you need to have the filter going. But when they start becoming young men and women, you've got to help them not necessarily filter everything. In fact, I think then it becomes damaging.
Right. If you keep them from that.
If you keep the filter on them so they can never see or hear or experience anything, then the minute they leave you, they are going to be a mess. And I've seen that many, many times. That's when you sit down with the kid and look at something that you would have never let them watch when they were 13.
Right.
But they're 16 now. They're 17 now. You sit down. You watch it and you talk about it.
It's one thing to shelter your teenagers or whatever.
Yeah,
from
don't
this,
be
but
sheltering,
you can't,
man.
But
16,
you need
17,
to...
18 years. You're still sheltering That's... stuff. And I know a lot of you guys, some of you really hardcore, and we never let our kids watch anything, you know. Now, in our case, again, we didn't let them watch anything we hadn't watched.
Right.
But it doesn't mean we didn't let them watch it.
Exactly.
Watch
we just
watched
it first.
Yes.
So we knew what we were dealing with. Or if we went to watch, we went with them.
Yeah.
And then
when my daughter was
16,
17, I took her to an R-rated movie where, what was it, Alien?
Aliens.
You know, where they're eating all these creatures and stuff like that,
There's not really a whole lot to talk about after that one. So tell me, you know.
Do you believe in aliens? there's you can take them and they see that, there's cursing and this, that, and the other, and you get a chance, you know. Put it in your context, because the minute they leave you, if anything, you got to teach them how to self-filter.
Mm-hmm. Correct and process, absolutely.
You know, what are you going
to
do
what
when
is
you
right,
see?
What is wrong?
Yeah, absolutely.
You see something, and you got to be smart about it. You know, there's some stuff you just still, you wouldn't let them go see an X-rated movie.
No.
And there's some PG-13s I still wouldn't let my kids go.
Well, think
so
about like the
bad.
Super Bowl last year. You know, some of those
commercials
were horrid. I took four of the commercials from last year's Super Bowl, and I sat down with our youth group, and I asked them to talk about the hidden message. What are they really selling? Are they selling shoes? Or sex.
Yeah. Oh, sex.
And most of them have never really thought, we should talk about this. You know, it's...
Because it's just their normal.
Exactly.
It's their normal.
Like the one guy, they're in a conversation and the girl's listening to him talk and she's thinking to herself all kinds of nice things about the boy. And then when you see his version, what is he thinking?
Was this a Pepsi commercial?
I want to see your naked.
Yes.
You know, ha, 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 ha. Okay, we get it. But talk to your kids about that stuff. Why do you think they're portraying a guy like that? Well, because guys have that, the temptation. How do you deal with it as a Christian? So again, I'm not saying put the kids in you got older kids, sit down and watch that movie with them. I don't have a problem with that. But talk to them.
Here's the commercial last night at our house. Did you see it's like for a online dating service, Zooks or something? It's
a new one. Yep, Zooks.
Oh, yeah.
And the lady's imagining, and she's
having
her girlfriends
sex with
all around,
guy.
And the candles are all around, and then she hits her head and all of this, and then maybe not. Well, that had played earlier in the day or in the afternoon or whatever. I was cooking supper, and I didn't say anything, and my 13-year-old son is there. When it came on the second time, I'm doing away in the kitchen, and I holler across, Noah, hey, tell me, what's the matter with that commercial? And he can tell me. I mean, he can say it all back. You know, because it's like, what are you going to do? It's a commercial and it comes on. And I thought, oh, brother, and rolled my eyes the first time. But when it came on again, it's like, okay, this isn't going past a second time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, about having sex on the first date, Mom.
That's the thing.
And he could say
that's
the
first thing
to
my
me.
Wife said. She says, this is the first date. Yes. She's imagining the first date.
Yes, the first date. That's exactly what he said back to me.
The only good redeeming thing out of it, which you can actually talk about to your kids and stuff like that, so you see how they're getting naked and they're crazy and are bumping each other's head and it's awkward and stupid. I said, wow, that's inappropriate, certainly in the context of people not married, much less the first date, for the love of God.
Yeah.
At least the positive part of that commercial is it shows
it's awkward.
You're sitting here naked with someone for the first time. It's awkward. It's, you know, they make, because everywhere else in Hollywood is like this glorious, incredible thing.
Experience,
and having sex with someone for the first time is like, ooh, when it's more like, ew, okay? I mean, it's weird. And afterwards, you feel really weird. And it's, you know, so that's about the only positive you can get. But again, these are opportunities to talk to your kids.
Yes.
You know, but the younger ones, you're going to sit your kids watch these things?
No.
And then they grow up doubting God. I mean, golly. Anyway, the main thing is don't just let the television raise your kids.
That's exactly right.
Watch it with them. Talk it through with them. These are good opportunities. So, there. Have we taken a single email on the show? I don't think we have.
No, but that's okay.
But that's good. That's good stuff to talk about.
There's a little bit of a follow-up. Remember the lady who emailed and she was worried about she and her husband not praying together, that they should pray together.
They were just
newly married.
And people
would tell them that they should pray
out loud.
Yeah, out loud together. Yeah, yeah. So she wrote back and she said, thank you for your answer. It was very helpful. My pastor said a husband should be ashamed if he is not praying with his wife.
Are you kidding?
That's what she wrote.
Well,
I thought.
Look, I don't have a problem with that, but I mean, she's saying that he has to. She was real detailed, right? He had to pray out loud
and this and that. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what I don't know. That's only that she said. She said, I thought with my husband taking me to church and Bible study, tithing and leading devotion time, he was doing a good job for us. The pastor's comment
but
put serious doubts in
time.
My mind that perhaps we were doing something wrong.
How do you lead devotion time but you don't pray? I don't get that.
Well, I think she's talking about sitting and just praying out loud together, not devotion. I think just like holding her hands and praying out loud like a pastor
would. Yeah, which
is
what we talked about. That's how we got to the lady who
and she was
has
fine.
Sex 3 times 24 hours. You hear about these people who have, and then everybody feels bad because they don't have that.
Just like you said, she thought they were doing fine. Then the pastor said this, and it put serious doubts in their mind that
they were
doing something wrong.
Both the husband and wife should take turns praying out loud and seeking out to God. And I said, man, I've never done that with my wife.
They were perfectly fine until they got this, he should be ashamed for not doing this comment, apparently.
So that help her at all?
Yeah, she said it helped her a lot.
Yeah. Not trying to slam your pastor, but... yeah, just relax a little bit. Man, sounds to me like she's got a great...
What man would want to hear that, though, in a church and feel comfortable about executing his faith?
Well, he should be ashamed.
Well, really? I don't have a problem with that.
See, I do.
On the context that he's talking about. I don't know what the pastor said. And in all fairness of the pastor, who knows? Because, look, I'm a pastor.
Then there's a lot
I
of shame.
I say things all the time, and then I hear second, third. It's a whole different version
this
than what
true.
I said.
True.
I could say, seeing two guys, guys, you ought to be ashamed for never praying with your family. I can see myself saying something like that.
Something like, yeah.
But the way she was describing the kind of prayer and how
and if he's saying he should be ashamed for not doing that, then that's a little overkill.
Yeah, right. So anyway.
All right, you guys, go online. Celebratefamilies.org. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.